Welcome to Moolah Matters with Ina. Consumers can prevent January turning into Januari this December if they watch their spending and if they spend their money the right way. This is especially important, seeing that some people will get bonuses in the next week. South Africans are coming out of a year of tight economic circumstances where they had very little to splurge with and always had to keep a tight rein on their finances. There is also a lot of hope that the economy and consumer finances will improve next year or even the year after. In addition, January comes with its own set of challenges. It feels like it has 8 weeks after most people got their salaries for December on 15 December. You have to buy school uniforms and school supplies. You have to pay school fees. The list goes on. Therefore, if you let the Christmas music in the shops lure you into splurging on gifts and luxuries, January will indeed turn into January, and it is never a good idea to kick off the year like that. Today, we chat to Renee Besson, Head of Brand at Satrix, about how you can turn silly into savvy this festive season. Welcome, Renee.
Hi, Inna. Thank you very much for having me.
Renee, how can we transform the season of cheer into a savvy opportunity to be mindful of our spending?
Inna, I don't think there's probably a one size fits all here, given everyone has vastly different financial situations. But I do think being mindful or more aware of your finances and how you apply your money to your plans for the festive season will definitely help you become more savvy about your spending. And whether you should or shouldn't be spending. So basically, I would say it would be around knowing your finances, planning for them, tracking them to set yourself up to be a savvy South African. And the word savvy means making good judgment decisions. So, yeah.
How can we as consumers stay on track, steer clear of financial pitfalls, and consider investing in generosity that yields long-term rewards?
Yes, financial pitfalls. I think, from a personal perspective, I've also been victim to some financial pitfalls over my time and my career, like most South Africans and most of your listeners. So I think there's some practical things we can consider to help us stay on track. Number one being calculating the numbers, so a budget to be aligned with what you can and can't spend. I think budgeting is really important. When it comes to the festive season, avoid shopping and spending last minute because that pressure inadvertently makes you overspend. That's something I really personally take put a lot of priority on that one. Tracking your spending and making adjustments as and when you need to, particularly that speaks back to your budgeting. And then giving, gifting, and considering having discussions about gifting with your family because, there is always this pressure potentially to want to splurge and spoil your loved ones. From my personal perspective, our family is not big on giving gifts. We do a secret Santa sometimes where we pull a name out of a hat so you only have to buy one gift, or maybe consider only giving gifts to children in the family. And then there's always the gift of time or homemade gifts, which is really great, can help you keep your expenditure lower potentially. And then there's speaking to the generosity that would yield long-term rewards, that speaks specifically to investing. So from a Satrix perspective, investing over the long term gives you the opportunity to benefit from compound growth. But in the context of the festive season, spending time with loved ones also speaks to the generosity of time.
How can we invest in gifts that offer enduring value for the future? What are these gifts? Is it giving somebody an investment?
I definitely would say that. It's something that I love the idea of. So there's two aspects for me here. So there's one, gifting yourself. So once you've got a budget and you plan and you've set your financial goals, and if you are a current investor, sticking to those financial goals, they say you should, often you hear people say you should pay yourself first. And I do believe that's important. And try and avoid temptation to draw down on investments if you are a current investor. to draw down on those investments to finance a holiday, because investing is likely to appreciate in value over a number of years. So this speaks to the specifically to the magic of compound interest. The longer you're invested, the more time
Yes.
your investment has to grow. There's also the option of gifting an investment voucher to family and friends. So that again speaks, if the longer they're invested, the higher the likelihood that they can benefit from compound growth. So I personally love the idea of giving a voucher, investment voucher as a gift.
And then, Rena, how important is it you talk about a budget? How important is it to draw up a budget?
So let me first say, for me personally, I'm more of a head budgeter, if that's even a thing. I'm not sure if it is, but I'm constantly trying personally to improve in this area myself. I do track my expenses on a monthly basis, and I love a spreadsheet. So, that's something that I'm very good at on a monthly point of view. And there's a lot of online tools that your listeners can use also. But a budget, I believe a budget is very important. It helps you understand what money you have available, what your expenses are, how you plan to spend. It gives you financial stability. And I find, when you see numbers physically on a spreadsheet, for example, or on an app, if you're using an app, it really makes it tangible. And this also helps you plan better. So if you have long-term goals for your retirement, maybe you're planning an emergency fund, that really a budget really helps you achieve these goals, and it does also help you fix bad spending habits if you do have them.
Why is it important to avoid last minute splurges, and how can you do it?
I think, especially in, as we go into the festive season now, everyone's starting to go on holiday, the shops are starting to get busier. I find personally last minute shopping really stressful. It's that rushing around, you often end up not finding what you're looking for. It creates unnecessary stress, which leads you to impulse buy. And that means sometimes you end up
Yes.
buying things that are more expensive than what you might have budgeted for. So again, I come back to my point about having a plan and spreadsheets. So I personally like to make a list of people that I like and loved ones that I want to spoil. And I then put a budget against each of, for each gift that I need to get. And I do personally do a lot of online shopping. I prefer online shopping because, it's quick, it's very easy. I've been doing it for a long time, but with that comes the aspect of being quite aware of the
Yes.
potential pitfalls of online shopping, like fraud and scams. So you should always shop on websites that you trust. If you don't know them, check their reviews and make sure you're comfortable with it. And I guess to avoid last minute splurging, start a bit earlier in the year if you can. I've never really managed to do it earlier than October. I know some people are very good at it and start very early in the year, but I personally find that's helped me a lot to avoid last minute splurges, and I hope that hopefully it will help your listeners too.
So tell me, how can we go about being proactive about investing?
Again, a plan. I really do believe in plans. I think, you should consider setting goals for yourself. So whether they be short-term goals like a holiday you might want to take in the next year, medium-term goals like your child's education, or long-term goals like your retirement, or a combination of those, which would probably be for most listeners, and then planning to set amount of money each month to go into your investment. That amount can fluctuate, obviously, depending on your circumstances. And, setting up a recurring investment via a direct debit is a really easy way to kind of take the stress away from it. It kind of happens in the background. And one thing I love is that the Satrix platform has no minimum. So if you want to set aside 10 rand a month, if you wish, you can do that. And if you want to set aside more, you can also.
And you say you track your own spending and make adjustments. Can you share your secret with us?
I think, I don't know if there is a secret. I always look at other people and think that I desperately want to be as good as them at budgeting. I have a spreadsheet, obviously, because I like Excel quite a lot. And I go in every month, I make sure I track my spend. If there's like bigger items that that I've spent on in the month, I make sure I document that, because sometimes I find I want to go back in a couple of months and have a look as to why What did I spend on something, for example, if I maybe a house, something to do with my house, so I had to upgrade. I need to remind myself. And if you have recurring items, you can always look and see if your what your budget should be. So I don't know if I have the secret, except that I'm constantly trying to be more diligent about it.
What are collaborative gifting strategies and how can consumers make them work?
So I love collaborative gifting. I really do. It's particularly in the festive season, because quite honestly, a lot of us have quite big families. So you end up buying gifts for your entire family. You go, it could end up being really expensive because we all want to spoil our families. So our family does. We're not huge on massive gifts. We do collaborative gifting when it comes to milestone birthdays, for example. And then for the festive season, we celebrate Christmas. So we do. We've done Secret Santa quite often, where we draw a name out of a hat, we agree on a budget, and then each person only has to buy one gift. And then there is obviously the more fun version of Secret Santa, where you get to steal gifts from each other. but
That sounds
that's not something we
interesting.
do often. It's quite fun. It is gets very hilarious. I've done it with some friends, but I do love collaborative gifting, especially when you have milestones, or even like maybe a child is graduating, or you want to give them a special gift this festive season. Getting wider family members to contribute, whatever they can afford, is always a great way to go.
And then there's just one nice big gift at the end.
Exactly, yes. And often it also gives you an opportunity to spend a little bit more because you have more funds available. And if someone is really keen on getting a specific item, then that also helps you help them realize that dream.
I see. Tell me, what are the diverse forms of generosity that we can embrace at this time?
I really believe in the generosity of time. I think it's we always say we never have enough time, and we never, it's so difficult to find time to do things. So if you can give your time, I think it's being very generous.
And what form would that be? Would it be to just spend time with loved ones or giving your time to, say, an NGO where you can help people who are less well off?
Yes, definitely. So I would say there's two, well, there'd be two aspects, well, three really. One being obviously giving the gift of time to your loved ones. That's one of the best gifts. So, for the festive season, like perhaps one of your family members has traveled quite far and you have fetching them from the station, for example, cooking for loved ones, making homemade gifts. I personally love jam. So if anyone gives me jam, I love it. And spending time with your family is really amazing. And then to your point around NGOs and volunteering, that's incredible if listeners can find time to do that. And then from an investment perspective, the gift of time is also a great what's the word? Great way of realizing compounding, the magic of compound interest. So say you have a minor child, for example, so an under 18. Consider perhaps opening a minor child's account where you invest on their behalf until they're 18. Because they have time on their side, they will realize the magic of compound interest.
And that's the gift that keeps on giving.
Definitely, yes. So I'd say, a gift that keeps on giving, if you consider, if you buy, for example, you buy a bag today for 500 rand, that's going to immediately depreciate, and you wouldn't be able to, say, in 3 to 5 years, sell it for 500 rand. But if you were to give someone the gift of investing through an investment voucher, for example, in 3 to 5 years, that potentially would have grown. It has the potential to grow through the compounding interest. And hopefully, the person you've gifted that to will remember that it came from you.
Will you give the gift of time this year, and who will you give it to?
Most certainly, definitely. It's been a long year. I think listeners probably identify with that. We've had a very busy year. So I'll probably gift myself some time. I'm really excited about some time off and spending time at home. And then also my family, spending time with each other. Most of them will be in Joburg this year, so I'm really excited to spend time with my friends and my family, doing things I like walking and playing golf, and cooking lunch for my mom, for example. So yeah.
Do you have tips for consumers to get through January?
Yes, January. We all love December and we loathe January, don't we? I
Absolutely.
guess I would say, you know, first off, we should really give ourselves permission to relax and celebrate our successes from 2023, most certainly. But with the, you know, and this is advice I'm giving myself also, is to make sure that I don't overindulge financially over the festive season. Sticking to financial goals and budgets. If you don't have a budget, then set one up. It's really, really going to help you. And then specifically for January, I would suggest, you know, reevaluating your budget, because pricing and your expenses might fluctuate slightly as you go into the new year. Making sure your priorities are aligned and that you've checked that they're still maybe the same or if they've changed. And then I guess, you know, January always takes a little bit of sacrifice, because we
It
need to cut
does.
back. And it's really unfortunate, but we kind of need to cut back on the non-essentials in order for us to get through January, because it's such a long month. So for me, I'm going to probably not be buying all those lovely coffees at the office. I'll probably be taking my coffee to work. I should probably do that the whole year, to be honest. But yeah, I would definitely say budget. Review your budget and your priorities, and then cut back as best you can.
Renee, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with us today.
Thanks, Ina. It's been really nice to chat to you, and I hope you and your listeners have a wonderful festive season and a very prosperous new year.
Thanks, and the same to you.
Thank you very much.